This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Fred Thompson is out. Clinton and Obama duke it out in debate. Republicans stump to get out the vote in Florida. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for another edition of The Political Junkie.
There you go again.
My name is Geraldine Ferraro.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
But I'm the decider.
Every Wednesday, NPR's political editor Ken Rudin joins us for the latest on the presidential race and other political news. First, it was Iraq, then it was change. Now it's the economy. Candidates retool their message yet again. As McCain conquers South Carolina, Fred Thompson exits stage right. Lawyers Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama spar over former clients, Walmart and a slumlord. Democrats in South Carolina head to the polls on Saturday. Republicans in Florida weigh in next Tuesday. And in a nod to next month's Super Bowl, Ken has a trivia question that combines politics and sports. So how do you hear the candidates on the new big issue, the economy? And how does that change your thinking on who to vote for? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later, those left off yesterday's list of Academy Award nominations. Who got snubbed? But first, it's the Political Junkie. Ken's with us here in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil.
And let's start with that trivia question.
Well, I might be a New York Giants fan, but I should point out the fact that the first time the New York Giants won the Super Bowl, and Super Bowl was the 1986 season, what member of that championship team later ran for Congress?
It was not Fred Thompson.
No.
was not Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson dropped out yesterday. What effect is that going to have on the Republican nomination process?
Well, I think I can make the case that if he dropped out several weeks earlier, that John McCain might not have won the South Carolina primary. Fred Thompson took away, he finished third. Probably it was his best showing of the campaign. I think in New Hampshire, he finished sixth with 1%. But in South Carolina, he finished third, a state that he really needed to win. He got 15-16% of the vote. And I suggest that perhaps a lot of that vote may have gone to Mike Huckabee, who finished a close second to John McCain, or even George Romney's son, Mitt. So I think had he dropped out earlier, perhaps it would have mattered, but it ultimately doesn't matter that much.
Well, he declined to endorse any of his rivals yesterday, but observers think if he does, it would be likely his old Senate pal, John McCain.
Right. He supported John McCain in the 2000 primary, and he was actually supporting John McCain in 2008 until he read all the newspaper headlines saying what a great nominee he would be, and then so he ran on his own. But I'm not convinced his supporters go that way. The fact is that he runs as a very strong conservative, a social conservative, especially on abortion and fiscal matters. And I suspect that many of his supporters will either go Romney or Huckabee's way.
Well, joining us now is Andy Gobeil. He hosts The Big Picture, a weekly news and public affairs program that airs on public television and public radio across South Carolina. He joins us from ETV Studios in Columbia. Nice to have you back on the program.
Neil, Ken, good afternoon.
And do you think Ken's right that Mike Huckabee might have been really pleased with Fred Thompson had he withdrawn 2 weeks ago?
Absolutely. Fred Thompson spent all of his time, effort, and energy down here in South Carolina. He spent New Hampshire's election day here in South Carolina, and he took from Mike Huckabee. And I, you know, when I was sitting at my desk, and the way, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but the way that Fred Thompson announced that he was leaving the race was, I thought, typical Fred Thompson as well. No press conference, nothing to announce it. He just sends out an email. But when that came over my desk yesterday, I thought, my goodness, Mike Huckabee must be livid, because had this taken place in the days leading up to it, Mike Huckabee would be perhaps the presumptive nominee, having won South Carolina.
John McCain, though, did quite well in South Carolina.
He certainly did. He stepped up, and the comment that he made about, it was 8 years late, but that's no big deal, was absolutely true. He stepped up, and immediately following the incident back in 2000, he went around, he courted the establishment Republicans, those who supported President Bush, then Governor Bush in 2000, and has been doing that, and I don't know how many times he came back. And I think the thing that was very, very telling was, I still can't get over looking at the podium, the dais there in Charleston at the Citadel, where where he gave his acceptance speech, and just the difference in, for lack of a better term, production values. He was reading off of a teleprompter. He had the stage cleared, with the exception of Senator Graham, one of his, you know, huge supporters, and he had been working for quite some time to get the establishment Republicans who had gone for Governor Bush 8 years ago to come into his fold this time around, and that actually worked for him.
And in South Carolina, of course, we're now sandwiched South Carolina. Maybe it's the pulled pork primary. We've got the Democrats coming up on Saturday. And, of course, there was a very lively debate in South Carolina just the other day.
Yeah, it was very lively. We were doing our show live from outside of the Palace Theater in Myrtle Beach, where it was like 30 degrees. And you know, the heat was coming from inside. And it was interesting. I spoke with Senator Obama last night at an event. And, you know, he has mentioned a number of times Senator Clinton. Last night in the event, he mentioned Hillary Clinton at least four times and didn't mention John Edwards once. And I think, and Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, conventional wisdom seems to say that John Edwards may have won the debate. And Senator Obama last night said, no, he's not overlooking John Edwards, but then Hillary this and Hillary that. So I thought it was rather interesting.
Ken?
Well, exactly right. You know, I keep going back to the Nevada caucuses when a lot of the Edwards people would call us and say, why are you not including John Edwards in the campaign coverage? A very legitimate complaint. The polls showed it a three-way race, but ultimately when the folks in Nevada showed up, John Edwards got 4%. The point is that while Edwards is running, it's hard to compete against two superstars, against the fact that if you looked at the headlines following the last debate, it was all about Obama and Clinton, and it's hard for Edwards to break through. And I agree. I thought Edwards did very good, very well in the debate the other day.
Well, for those who may have missed it, those one or two, here are the excerpts that everybody's been talking about since the debate in Columbia, South Carolina. First, Barack Obama talking about Senator Clinton's past work as a corporate lawyer in Arkansas.
While I was working on those streets, watching those folks see their jobs shipped overseas, you were a corporate lawyer sitting on the board of Walmart. I was fighting these fights.
And then Senator Clinton came back, attacking Senator Obama's reverence for Ronald Reagan as a transformative political figure, something she said he expressed admiration for Ronald Reagan's ideas.
I was fighting against those ideas when you were practicing law and representing your contributor, Resco, in his slum landlord business in inner city Chicago.
No, says Obama. By the way, Tony Resco goes on trial, I think, today in Illinois, and Senator Obama is trying to distance himself from his former, well, a client of his firm. I'm not clear on how much work Senator Obama actually did on this case. In the meantime, as mentioned, there was another guy on stage.
What I want to say first is, are there three people in this debate, not two?
That, of course, John Edwards.
Ken? Yeah, Neil, actually, there were four people in that debate because as Barack Obama said, he's not sure which Clinton he's running against. It's not only Hillary Clinton, but it's Bill Clinton who has gone on. He has basically been her vice presidential running mate. He's been the attack dog. She's trying to stay above the fray. Matter of fact, she's not even in South Carolina today, but Bill Clinton is. And he's talking about, you know, the fairy tale career of Barack Obama opposing the war in Iraq, criticizing him on X, Y, or Z issues. And it's interesting. I see the frustration with Barack Obama in the fact that he's running against both Bill and Hillary Clinton. And it's tough to run against Bill Clinton because until now, until this episode, until this primary campaign, I would suspect that Bill Clinton was clearly the most revered, most popular person in the Democratic establishment. Everybody loved him. But you wonder to what extent is Bill Clinton, look, he wants Hillary to win the nomination. There's no question about that. But is he willing to hurt the party in the process? And a lot of people are concerned about that.
In the meantime, Andy Gobiela, Bill Clinton's still in South Carolina. Chelsea Clinton's still in South Carolina. But Hillary Clinton is not in South Carolina.
She is not, and we are sitting here trying to make our plans for our coverage Saturday night, and we don't know if she's going to be here or not. There are certain reports that say that she will be here. We're, you know, going to send our camera crew, obviously, out to where the location is going to be, but we haven't heard confirmation back from her campaign as to whether or not she is going to be here in South Carolina come Saturday night. You know, it's rather unique, and I don't know how many times we can say that it is unique, but when you've got, as your surrogate, a former president, you know, you throw the rules out the window. Not only talking about President Clinton, but just the role of the presidency there. I mean, I was asking, again, Senator Obama last evening if perhaps the president has crossed the line. And Senator Obama wouldn't say that. But again, his line, I guess, Ken, is that, you know, they are distorting his record and distorting the votes that he's had in the past. So whether or not Senator Clinton is going to be here, we have heard that she's going to be, but we haven't received confirmation yet from her campaign.
Barack Obama may be reticent about criticizing Bill Clinton, but certainly Maureen Dowd was not in today's New York Times. This is what she said. She said, "The Clintons always go where they need to go, no matter the collateral damage, even if the damage is to themselves and their party. Bill's transition from elder statesman, leader of his party, and bipartisan ambassador to ward healer and hatchet man has been seamless and seamy." A lot of Democrats feel that way.
And I wonder, in South Carolina, is there an impression that Hillary Clinton is ceding this state to Barack Obama and already working on the states of February 5th? She's been in California, I think, nearby New Jersey, and stopped in Missouri, also in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So what's been the impression there in South Carolina?
Not so much. I mean, you have to remember, of course, Mitt Romney came down here and spent 3 years down in South Carolina, was buying television time, and then right before the Michigan campaign took everything out of South Carolina and went after Michigan voters when he won, he returned here. So that is somebody who actually leaves the state. She still has staff here. She has, again, former President Clinton here. Chelsea is here. And she is expected to return here within the next few days, at the very least, to continue some campaigning. Is there any blowback or any feedback as a result of what has gone on? No, I think that most everybody is just paying attention to what's happening. You know, we've been hearing this and been dealing with this for the past year here, at least on the Democratic side, a little bit more on the Republican side. So we're waiting to find out what's going to happen and whether or not she is going to be here. I mean, and people, you know, we had the huge church, the African-American church here in Columbia, where the other day Chelsea Clinton was sitting there and Barack Obama was there, too. It's been a very interesting time here in the Palmetto State.
Andy Gobiel, thanks again very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Andy Gobiel, host of The Big Picture, a statewide news and public affairs program, with us from ETV Studios in Columbia, South Carolina. We've got a caller. We've got an email with the trivia answer, or at least proposed. Whitney in Chicago. Steve Largent was the former giant on the 86 team who ran for Congress.
Steve Largent not only did run for Congress, he was elected to Congress, but Steve Largent never played on the Giants. We're talking about somebody who played on the New York Giants championship game, team 1986, 1987, went on to run for Congress. Steve Largent.
More of your trivia answers coming up. We're also going to be talking about the next stop after South Carolina, at least on the Republican side. That's Florida, and that's where we'll head next. 800-989-8255. We're focusing today on how the economy as an issue may be changing your vote. Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's Wednesday, which means Ken Rudin's here for another edition of The Political Junkie. A little bit later in the hour, a different kind of politics. We'll talk about who was overlooked in the Oscar nominations yesterday. Right now, though, on to Florida. That's where Rudy Giuliani's been camped out, hoping to win the lion's share of the 57 Republican delegates available on Tuesday. And more, the economy is the major issue in this campaign. Tell us if that's driving your vote. How does what you're hearing from the candidates about the economy change who you're thinking about to vote for? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also send us comments on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And we have another prospective trivia answerer. Edwin is on the line with us from West Windsor in New Jersey.
Hey, Neil, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Ken,
yes.
I think it is Phil McConkie.
It is correct.
Yeah. I had a big grin on my face because, don't you remember, he dove into the end.
I love Phil McConkie. Yeah, he actually, 4 years after he led that championship team, he ran for Congress in New Jersey, lost the Republican primary in the 12th Congressional District, as you well remember, Richard Zimmer.
Right.
Name that will live for a few weeks anyway.
And Phil McConkie not only caught that deflected touchdown pass from Phil Sims, but a graduate of the Naval Academy. Few people remember that.
I remember that.
Was it deflected off Mark Bavaro?
I believe it was. Yes.
Solid Navy man.
All right.
Gentlemen, I'd like your take on two things very quickly. The Democratic campaigns, a lot of people are making a lot of fuss about Obama's inexperience as opposed to Hillary's experience. And I don't agree with that. And the reason why is because when you think about it, I mean, when you compare it to a Joe Biden or a Chris Dodd, or even McCain. Those are people that have put in significant time. They do have experience. Hillary's experience is based on a populist viewpoint. And I think that, remember, she beat Giuliani when? It was after 9/11, 2002. And that was only because Giuliani pulled out. She didn't even beat Giuliani. She beat Rick Laszlo.
Now, Giuliani did pull out, but it was before 9/11. And in any case, and let's not forget Bill Richardson, who also brought a hefty resume to the Democratic campaign. And
correct.
Ken, what do you think about this?
Well, right. I mean, Hillary Clinton is talking about her 35 years of experience. But, of course, a lot of it was, you know, she did work on anti-poverty stuff. She mentioned during the debate that she worked for Marion Wright Edelman. But she also worked for the Rose Law Firm and Walmart. And she much of her time, she was the First Lady of Arkansas, First Lady of the United States. So that was part of it too. Barack Obama could claim the same experience. If we're going to talk about real life experience, you know, he worked in the inner city of Chicago, and so he had the same kind of experience that Hillary Clinton had. So a lot of people are concerned about her claim that she has far more experience ultimately in public life, though. In public office, there's not much difference.
Edwin, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
All right, bye-bye. Joining us to talk more about the upcoming Florida primary is Lance DeHaven-Smith, a professor of public administration and policy at Florida State University, longtime watcher of Florida politics. He's with us from the studios of member station WFSU in Tallahassee. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Neil.
And has the economy become the major issue in the Republican primary there in Florida?
Certainly in Florida. The economy here is very shaky. We depend heavily on tourism, and when the gas prices go up, the tourism goes down, and our economy really shakes, and that's what's been happening. We've been in something like a recession for probably the last 3 or 4 months. So in some ways, the country's catching up with us.
And if terrorism was the topic A, you would think that would help Rudy Giuliani. If the war was topic A, you'd think it might help John McCain. If the economy is topic A, who does that help?
Well, it helps Romney. I think Romney, he's from the Midwest. He's got roots in Michigan. We have a lot of Midwestern retirees in Southwest Florida, in the strip of beachland running from Tampa to Naples, and he'll be popular there. He's proposed an elimination of payroll taxes on Social Security benefits for people 65 and older. That will appeal to the large number of retirees there. So I think this helps him a great deal.
And there are a few retirees from the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area also in Florida, and that is who Rudy Giuliani is really hoping to appeal to.
It is, but, you know, what people don't think about is we have a closed primary, and most of those New Yorkers are Democrats, and he'll be able to mine some Republican Northeasterners in Dade County, in Miami-Dade County, but a great bulk of these New Yorkers are not going to be able to vote in the Republican primary. They'll have to cast votes as Democrats.
A closed primary. Also, John McCain likes to get, does very well among independents, as he certainly did in New Hampshire and in South Carolina. Those votes aren't available to him in Florida.
No, and he would also, in a general election, draw well from what we call the blue dog Democrats. These are white, traditional Southerners who register Democrat but tend to vote Republican, tend to be fairly conservative. There's a saying about them, they don't always go home from the dance with the one who brung them, which means that they, you know, they may be registered Democrats, but they'll go home with anybody, and they tend to gravitate toward people like McCain, a very tough, cold warrior type. But they're not going to be able to vote. They'll have to vote in the Democratic primary. It makes the Democratic side more conservative, but it means that McCain will not have a chance to pull those votes into his coalition.
There is, however, a pretty substantial military vote in Florida, too.
Yes, there is. We have very large military bases in Pensacola, Jacksonville, and Tampa. We have one of the highest percentages of veterans in our population of any state in the nation. Many people trained here. They come back here when they retire. And that's what McCain's real base is. He's been campaigning in North Florida, and the veterans have been turning out for him. So he has a natural constituency already.
Let's get a caller on the line. Joel is on the line. Joel calling us from Little Rock in Arkansas.
Hey, Neil. How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm a supporter of Huckabee down here in Arkansas, and I've just got a question with regard to his kind of bypassing Florida and choosing to go to Georgia. I think it's a brilliant move simply because it kind of deflects any kind of criticism he'd be getting from the big three that would, you know, he wouldn't have the money to answer against. And meanwhile, he's off on his own kind of building up support. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts would be on that, you know, whether that's a, it's almost a must move, but on the other hand, is a good move, too.
Lance DeHaven-Smith, what do you think?
Well, I think that Huckabee would run well in Central Florida. We have a large Christian right. I'd say it's a quarter of the Republican Party. Problem for Huckabee is getting beyond that, and it's very competitive. You've got McCain locking up the conservative military vote in North Florida. You've got Romney mining Southwest Florida. You have Giuliani picking up the Republican New Yorkers in Southeast Florida. So there's not many places to go. I'm not sure that he would, that Huckabee could possibly do all that well in Florida. But again, he wouldn't be written off. I mean, the fact is he's got a constituency here.
And yeah, but since it's all or nothing, it's just, it'd be almost like a Michigan thing where he, you know, he ran hard, but then he fell short, you know.
Well, that's right.
Go ahead, Ken.
I'm sorry. The only thing I would say is I think that the election will position whoever comes out of here well out of Florida for the February 5th vote, and that's the big prize here. It's not the delegates.
Yeah.
Ken?
And, of course, if Huckabee is focusing on Georgia for February 5th, there's also 22, 23 other states who are voting at the same time. And, you know, even if he gets a win in Georgia, he has to win somewhere else to be viable, and that's going to be a tough task.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Joel.
Hey, thanks a lot, Doc.
And, by the way, there is was supposed to be a Democratic primary, too, but Florida fell afoul of the same rules that scuppered Democratic participation in the Michigan primary. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's correct. They're not going to get delegates for the convention.
And one other
there is a primary, but it just won't count, is what it amounts to.
One other factor in this race is a ballot proposal on property tax reductions?
Yes, it's to roll back property taxes and to provide essentially non-value tax exclusions for a large part of your property valuation. But it's getting mixed reviews. I don't really think it's going to pass. It's one of the oddities that's going on here with the economy shaky. People are very concerned. I'm not so sure change is the big movement in Florida. I think there's great anxiety here and that you're more likely to see people be very cautious about jumping on the bandwagon for radical new ideas.
Ken?
There's also a rumor going around that there may actually be a competitive Florida primary as well. There's some talk that perhaps the sanctions that the state was subjected to, they may go away from that, and they actually allow the candidates to come and compete in the final 2 days before Tuesday's primary. So that would be very interesting, too.
Let's see if that happens. Anyway, let's get another caller on the line. This is Mike, and Mike is with us from Fort Lauderdale in Florida.
Yeah, how you doing? I had a question. Yesterday I received a survey about the Republican primary, and I went through and it was asking me questions about, like, what was the biggest concern for me, the economy, the war in Iraq, immigration, and names all the candidates. But at the end, they didn't tell me who the survey was for, who it was provided by, and I wasn't even sure if that was legal, and I just don't know. I just don't know. It's just kind of shady tactics down here in Florida, and I just feel I gotta.
Shady tactics in Florida? What an outrage!
Exactly.
Get Catherine Harris on the phone.
Lance DeHaven-Smith. Well, does this sound familiar?
It does, and in fact, there's a type of polling called push polling where you plant bad ideas in people's minds by the questions you ask. You might say, you know, John McCain wants to end Social Security. Are you for that or against it? When he doesn't have that position, you're just planting it. Lawton Childs, a famous politician in Florida, won an election against Jeb Bush in 1994, a very close election, using push polls. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that kind of thing in Florida. This is a rough and tumble state. People play a real hard game here.
And if Jeb Bush had won that election in 1994, I suspect it would have been Jeb Bush, not George W. Bush, as the Republican nominee in 2000.
So the only way, Mike, you can tell who might have sent this, did it say, for example, does it make a difference to you that Mike Huckabee has satanic horns on his head?
No, they just asked me, oh, do I have money in the stock market? And real general questions, but I mean, I want to know who's getting this information, the city or county, Broward County, or some certain candidate, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get on it. Anyway, Mike, thanks very much for the call.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. And before we leave you, Lance DeHaven-Smith, on the Republican side, where people are actually campaigning, who do you think is going to win?
I think McCain will. I think he's got this veterans base. He's taken a pretty liberal line on climate change, which is not a real popular maybe in the West, but it's a big issue in Florida. We're concerned about the hurricanes and the rising sea levels. And he's got Lieberman campaigning for him in Southeast Florida and the veteran base. So he's really got a lot going on. The other side of it is Romney has got money, and that's what it takes in Florida. You got to have TV money and be on the air, and he can do that. So he's certainly got a good chance. But I think it's McCain's race to lose at this point.
The Florida primary is next Tuesday. Lance DeHaven-Smith, thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Lance DeHaven-Smith, a professor of public administration and policy at Florida State University. He joined us from the studios of member station WFSU in Tallahassee. If you'd like to join in with the Political Junkie, who, parenthetically, also writes a column by that same name, you can read at npr.org. You can call us at 800-989-8255 or send us email talk@npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Rick is calling from Honolulu.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
The economy has always been important in my mind. I was pro Hillary before because of her health care thing she tried to do before, and she was really, you know, everybody loved to hate Hillary at that point. But now, you know, she's on the board of directors of Walmart, and, you know, they're talking about the trade deficit, and they're citing the Iraq war and spending on war, but doesn't the trade deficit have to do with our importing all these goods from China? Our manufacturing base is getting gutted, and we can't even make a notepad anymore. Aren't we becoming an impotent nation with just a bunch of middlemen tapping the keypad, hunting for the cheapest labor? That's bad. And I think Americans see that, and they don't like it. And the people that are the biggest espousers of free trade are the ones that are totally insulated from it. The tenured professors, they would be shaking in their boots if they had 100 guys waiting for their job at one-tenth the cost. How would they feel?
Rick,
I'm a farmer.
Rick, you're a farmer.
Stuff from Thailand.
You're a farmer. Senator Clinton, no longer on the board of Walmart. But anyway, how does this change? How is this changing who you plan to vote for? Who are you leaning towards now?
Well, you know, I like what Kucinich says, but I know he doesn't have a chance. And, you know, Obama is saying, you know, I'm going to vote for Obama.
You're going to vote for Obama?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, thank you, Rick. Appreciate the phone call. Let's turn now to, this is Peter. Peter with us in Pendleton, Oregon.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Neil. Real honor to talk to you. I am a big fan of your show. Listen to it every day. You're
thank
a
you for
broadcaster.
That. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to shift gears here a little bit, and I think, is Ken still with us?
Oh, Ken is always with us,
whether you want me or not.
I wanted to shift gears a little and talk about the upcoming senatorial races. I live in Pendleton, Oregon, which is the hometown of Gordon Smith, senator from Oregon, Republican, and he's considered pretty vulnerable right now. Also, last night I just went to the first Democratic debate for the senatorial candidates held right here in his hometown, Pendleton, Oregon. And I was just curious as to what your thoughts are on actually how vulnerable Smith is.
Gordon Smith, believed to be one of the Republicans vulnerable next November. What do you think, Ken?
He certainly is on the list. I mean, there are some perhaps even more vulnerable, like Sununu in New Hampshire and Norm Coleman in Minnesota. But Gordon Smith has been on the list. You know, you notice when Iraq was the leading issue, you saw that Gordon Smith, who had been a supporter of the war, was backing away from his support of the president and the war. So you could see that he hears the footsteps. I think is it the House Majority Leader, the Speaker of the House or something, who is a likely Democrat. A candidate supposed to be a very, very strong candidate. But again, if the issue does move towards the economy, perhaps maybe some of the vulnerable Republicans may be in better position than they would be a couple of months ago. But clearly, Gordon Smith is on that list of vulnerable Republicans.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Yeah, and I was most impressed last night with Steve Novick is a candidate that's running on the Democratic side.
Okay.
And he was the person I was most impressed with.
Thanks for the call, Peter.
Thank you, Neil.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one more call. Randy. Randy calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi.
Hi. Just got a few seconds, Randy.
Yeah, I received a weird phone call this morning, a recorded phone call about a retired FBI agent saying that Hillary Clinton got angry and had a burst of violence at some campaign event or anything. I was wondering, I mean, it was obviously negative, but it wasn't a push pull. It was just a real negative phone call, and I kind of hung up after about 15 seconds.
Oh, so you didn't wait to hear, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message?
Yeah, right. But, you know, we're kind of used to that in South Carolina, but I hadn't actually received anything that direct, and it was really nasty.
Mm-hmm. Nasty last-minute ads, part of campaigns increasingly, Ken.
Hard to imagine. But one thing, quick thing about though Rudy Giuliani, though, if he loses Tuesday in Florida, where does he go from there? The polls in New York show him now trailing Giuliani. This was a make-or-break state for him. That could be the end of his campaign.
Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor. He joins us every Wednesday as our political junkie. And is your new junkie column up yet on NPR.org?
Go Giants.
Go Giants is what it says. All right. I had to get a haircut to fit my old Giants hat on. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Oscar nominees who are out, and Into the Wild is nowhere to be found. Neither is Tim Burton. What or who do you think got snubbed by the Oscars? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.